going north. I take it very seriously up here. I might joke around or, you know, do a little things or say a little things, but when I'm up in the presence of God, it is a total different feeling that I get. I take God's word very seriously, and I have to tell you that it's very fitting that God would give me this word on today, which is today could be the rapture. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God said he does all things perfect. He makes no mistakes. He is God. I'm going to get right into the word. I've had a long week. You know, as I said, my one of my daycare moms, her son got shot, one of my daycare kids. He was 4 years old. I'm totally just baffled by him being gone at this time. So I ask you to continue to keep Nigeria Smith in your prayers. She's really going to need it. I know how much she loves her kids. But by any means, no matter what is going on in our life or whatever situation, we have been called to do a work for the Lord. And God has called me for this mission today, that he would actually give me this word on today. It's been a while since I've spoken the word, but I've learned that obedience is better than a sacrifice. You know, no matter what you might want to do, you have to wait on God's timing. And I just want to ask the church to turn to Revelation chapter 3. It's where I'll be coming from, starting at verse 14. Before we do that, let us go into prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what such a privilege and an honor to speak to your children, God. Lord, you said, let those who have an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, I ask you to open someone's spiritual understanding, because you are in the seeking and to saving business, God. You have come to transform man. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Revelation chapter 3, as you know, is talking about the seven churches. And I'll be reading from verse 14. And it says, and the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy, and you have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me refined gold in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. This is my scripture text. Behold, 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 look, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. This context of passage has to do with the churches in Laodicea. They was a lukewarm church. They was neither hot nor they was cold. Now, I'm sure you've probably had some things in your life, maybe like coffee or hot chocolate, and it wasn't hot. Me, I can't stand cold coffee. Neither do I like it lukewarm. I go to McDonald's every day. I'm faithful. And I get a cup of coffee. And if it's not right, right away I say, oh, no, this is not right. I tell them, this is the coffee to me. That's the second best part of waking up. Because Jesus is first in my life. But coffee, that's the second best part of waking up. And he told the church, he said, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Well, I like to title this message is, what is your prerogative? How you like it? Bobby Brown came out with a song called It's Your Prerogative. And you can do what you want to do. God gave me this message and he said, ask the church, what is their prerogative? This scripture gives us an idea of what God really thinks about being lukewarm. You know, I was thinking, you know, have you ever like went to someone home and you ring the doorbell or you knocked on the door and you know you heard somebody inside, but no one came to the door. So you just puzzle yourself. You kept standing there and you kept listening because you know you heard somebody inside, but you finally realized that no one was going to come and open the door. Okay, I want to focus your attention this morning on what Jesus said in verse 20. He says, behold, look, behold. If God wants your attention, he's going to say a word like behold, which means look. And then you would understand that he's have something very important to say. He said, I stand at the door. If someone come to your house and they ringing the doorbell and they knocking, it must be something that they want. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm standing at the door, which signifies an urgency. God is one to get someone attention today. And anytime Jesus say the word, I stands, that means he wants something. Something is about to happen. Today, you have been propositioned to make a decision. What is your prerogative? It's like Burger King said, this is Burger King and you can have it your way. This is the house of God and God has given man a choice. You can have it your way. Will you continue to live a way that you want to live today? Will you continue to go down the same path that you've been going down? Will you continue to party, continue to drink, continue to smoke, continue to fornicate, continue to commit adultery? It's your choice. What will you continue to do after today? Pharaoh had a choice. You know what he did? He hardened his heart. The more God spoke to him, the harder he got. You know, and I was thinking about that. Even us as people, you know, sometimes God sends people in our life to come and speak a word to us. And it's so amazing because you can know that that's the word. But because somebody came and told you what God said, you done got mad. You know, you so mad until you said, I ain't even going back to that church. I'm not going back there, you know, or I'm not speaking to my brother or sister no more. You know, I ain't got nothing to do with them. That's not my brother or sister. But let me tell you, if you have more friends in the world than you do in the church, something is wrong with that picture. Something is wrong with the picture. And God is trying to get your attention to let you know that a change need to take place. You know, Israel, even God's chosen people, they was the chosen nation. But yet, they decided they was going to go serve some other gods. You know, God said, I am God, and besides me, there is no other God. Now, you can make you another God if you want to. Your job can be your God. Your house can be your God. Your car can be your God. Your money can be your God. Or maybe even your boyfriend might be your God. But if that's the choice that you choose today to make somebody else your God other than God, then there's a consequence. Eve, she had a choice. And she had it made. But guess what? She still made a choice to take a bite of the fruit. Even in paradise, where she had everything that she could ever want in her entire life, she still made a bad choice. She chose to bite the fruit. Lucifer, he chose to disobey God. He, you know, he got pride in his heart and he said, I gonna be just like God. And guess what? He is trying his best to do exactly what he said he was gonna do. As we look around in the world today, you can see that he has a lot of people under control. You know, and he said, I come to kill, steal, and destroy. There's nothing good in there. Who will want to serve somebody who come to kill, steal, and destroy? But that's your choice. You know, the Bible said, he who yield to sin is a slave of it. Why would you want to yield to sin when you've been set free? Why would you want to give yourself to something that don't amount to nothing? It equals, God tells you that sin has a payroll. It's a paycheck. It's called death. And if you continue to be in it, then that's going to be your prerogative that you decided because you wanted to do whatever you want to do. But why would you want to be a slave if you have been set free? If somebody had you bound and shackled and tied down, and they said, you've been there for 10 years, and they finally come, and they come to the door, and they said, today, you're going to be released. What would you do? Would you just say, no, I enjoy being up in here. I like to be bound, shackled, and tied down, and this is what I want to be. You know, I want to still be a slave, even though I have been set free. Turn with me as we turn to Luke chapter 15 and verse 18. And let's see what decision someone came to in their life. Luke chapter 15 and verse 18. And as you all know, this is about the prodigal son. But this is what I want to focus on. He said to himself, enough is enough. He said, I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Are you tired? Are you tired of being sick and tired? Are you tired of the way that you have been living your life? Are you tired of waking up every day confused, depressed, stressed out, don't know which way to go and don't know which way to turn? Well, today I would encourage you to arise and go to your father. Stop going around telling everybody your problem and your business, because everybody ain't out to be on your side. Everybody don't think the way you think. If you want to go to somebody and you want your problem truly to be solved, go to the Father. Go tell him, and I guarantee you he will handle the situation. Or will you continue in your sin, thinking that, you know, and this is what the world says. They says, just ask God, he'll forgive you. And it's true. No matter what you do, God will forgive you, except for blasphemy. God will forgive any sin. But then once God forgives you, what are you going to do? Are you going to turn around and do the same thing that you just asked God to forgive you? Well, you know what? I did that too. In my life at one point, you know, I was doing what I wanted to do and I was going to church, you know, and I realized it got to a point, you know, the Bible say that the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And if you have a two-edged sword, that means you're going to get cut two times. So the word of God is sharp to where it will get down in your joints and marrows, and it will cause you to make a decision. Well, at that point, I had a war going on inside of me, because I wanted to do this, but I wanted to live like this. I wanted to act like I was saved, but I wanted to still communicate with the world and do what the world do. And as Paul say, there was another man inside of me. It was a war going on. And I got to the point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. God was knocking on the door of my heart. God is knocking on someone's heart today. He's been knocking for a long time. You done left him standing outside and forgot that he was even there. Today you need to wake up and understand that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Will you trust him? Go open the door. Let God transform you. Let him show you who he has called you to be. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, and let me show you who God is. I'll start from verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, every problem, every situation, everything you think you're going through. His name is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, you know, I always hear people say, God, 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 but they never can say Jesus. It said at the name of Jesus, God is just a title. Jesus is his name. Every knee shall bow, those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. If you understand this scripture, it will tell you that God abandoned his sovereign position. He became a servant. He approached a sinful people, and he had to enter on a sinful planet. He had to touch a sinful people. Made in the likeness of man, he had to become like man. He was always God, but he was becoming a man. And in the process, see, there's a process. See, once you get saved, there's a process. He grew He didn't stay the same. He grew in wisdom and in stature. In every sense, he was man. He was tempted like man, but didn't have no sin. He was genuine. That's what he was. He was genuine. He had it all down pat. He was also found in the fashion of a man. He was born to a Jewish nation. He had a mother and a father. He ate what they ate. He adapted to their culture. The ministry of the incarnation came through a woman's birth. He grew up and he learned a trade. Yet he was hungry, sleepy, weeping and rejoicing and suffering. But yet and still, he became a servant. Out of all that he went through, out of all the things that he did, yet and still, he still became a servant. He adopted a selfless posture, working in a carpenter shop, washing the disciples' feet, humility, born in a filthy stable, stinking and rotten. Even through humiliation, he became obedient. Dying was God's will, but yet and still he learned obedience. He died the death of a cross, so much pain and shame. Cursed death lonely. Even in his dying, he still willed the power of God to die. Out of all that he went through, all the suffering that he went through, it baffles me that God would actually come, robe himself in a body just to be beaten and spit upon and hung on a cross just for a wretch like me. He ascended a supreme prince. He was highly exalted. God lifted him up and exalted him. He even honored himself to be baptized by John the Baptist. John said, I'm not even worthy to latch your shoelace, but you want me to baptize you? Humility, even being buffeted by the devil on the cross. He was humility. And God glorified his name. In verse 10, it says, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He was humble and God exalted him. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God. With all the attributes of God, purchasing your salvation so that you can bow your knee and confess to him that he is God. God will decide in your life if you belong to Christ, if you be in Christ. God is the one who will decide when you will be promoted to whatever it is that he wants you to do. It don't matter what name you have for yourself or what title that you have for yourself. When it comes to Jesus, now we can easily compare ourselves to each other and say, I'm this and I'm that, and you this and you that. But when it comes to all mankind in Jesus, we are just sinners saved by grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. When Jesus went through all of this, he was thinking about you. He said, for the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross. Never did he say, I am God and I don't have to do this. He never said that. But, you know, we need to become more like Jesus because we have our own thinking about people and about situations and about what they may be doing or what they may not be doing. And then we base our actions on what we know. You know, so, but even though God knew that you was nothing but a wretch, couldn't do nothing to help out the situation, died while you was yet in your mother's womb. He went to the cross and he still died, and he said it was the joy. God knew already your ending even before you began. He washed the disciples' feet. He served the disciples, but he was a king. And if Jesus can do that, why we can't? Why we can't? Why when our brother or sister call us and say, you know, I'm in need of this or I'm in need of that, why we can't just go help them? You know? Why it bothers me to know that there are people who are in need and we refuse to do anything to help them. What we do is we'll call somebody and we'll say, so-and-so-and-so said this and so-and-so-and-so said that, but never say nothing about how can you help them. We need to be more mindful of God's people and what God has called us to do and be for his people. Because he said, no matter what else you might have going on, you might have a Rolls Royce and a mansion and a bank account full of money, but if you have not love, if you don't have love, you have nothing. So we have to have love amongst each other. I want to be known for servanthood, you know, and I only got this way because of God. You know, and before I was saved, I was in my own little world. I wanted to do things my way. I had a thing where you couldn't even touch me. Don't even think you're going to touch me, because to me, I was more important than anything, you know, or anybody. I didn't care about how people felt or what they wanted to do. So now being saved, it's something about when you know that you know that you know that you know you're saved. You know, I thank God for putting in my heart what he has done to me and changing my heart, because he says that it is the heart that is desperately wicked. That's what need a change. You can't change the outer man until you change the inner man. The inner man got to be changed first. You got to have a heart transformation. That's what God can do to you. He can change your heart. You know, and even though it baffles me that even though he knew that Judas was going to betray him, he knew he God. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. You know, he knew that Judas was just a lying, backstabbing, cheating. That's what he knew he was. He already knew what he was. But yet and still, with him knowing who he was, he still gave him a last supper. He said, you can still eat with me, but go do what you're going to do. Do it real quickly, he said. You know, if you are here today and you have been born again, it ain't but one reason why you're here, and that's to be obedient to God and to give him glory. If you are his purchased possession, what right do you have to do your own thing? You've been bought. You don't belong to yourself. If a person was a slave and the master went and bought the slave had no right to do what he wanted to do no more. He had to do what the master wanted him to do. And if you have been purchased with the blood of Christ, you have been bought with a price, and you do not belong to yourself. You belong to Jesus. Commit to God and bow yourself down and say, Lord, not my prerogative, but your will. When you got saved, did you tell Jesus that, you know, it was still some things you wanted to do? You know, you said, you know, when somebody told me that I had got saved and they was like, it's a rapture going to occur. And I said to myself, if the rapture occur, I ain't going to be able to buy no house, no car. I ain't going to be able to have nothing that I want. They ain't explained to me I'm going to have it all better, but I have begun to ponder on, you know, I ain't going to be able to do what I want to do. But then I had to realize, you know, if God says, you know, that he's going to call you from this thing to this thing, then you better know that this thing over here with God is way better than anything on this earth. Nothing is to be compared to what Jesus have for you. You know, and I want to tell you, I ain't always been saved. In fact, I was a Jehovah's Witness before I ever came to the truth. And being a Jehovah's Witness, I thought that I had the truth. Nobody could tell me nothing. Mm-mm. Every church, every other religion, and y'all ain't nothing but a liar. Y'all the devil. That's what Jehovah's Witness teach you. And they had me believing that, you know, that the Kingdom Hall was the only group of people that was going to be saved. And I believed it. I was with them for 14 years. I was dedicated to doing street ministry and whatever else they wanted me to do. I didn't care if nothing else existed until, you know what, God got my attention. He said, you know what he did? He used this brother who I highly thought of. Sometimes you can really highly think of people, but then God will show you who they is. Because I really thought highly of him. Well, God showed me one day I was up by McDonald's. He said, you just sit there and just watch and see what's about to happen. And I was saying to myself, what is about to happen? I had never even really heard God speak to me. And this brother pulled up in a truck, the very brother that I really highly thought of. I was about to jump out and speak to him. God said, don't you move. Sit right there. So I sit there, and about 5 minutes later, I see this sister car pulling up from the Kingdom Hall. And I'm saying to myself, that's so-and-so husband. And that's so-and-so wife. What they doing up here? God said, just sit there. She got out the car. She got over in the car with him. And I don't know what happened after that, but I was just still sitting there puzzled and just totally torn inside that these people could actually be cheating on their wife and husband. And God used that. I went to the Kingdom Hall, and I said I wanted to have a meeting. And they said, well, what you want to have a meeting for? And I said, well, I saw so-and-so husband and so-and-so wife, and they was meeting up, and I said they was cheating with each other. And they called him the elder of the congregation. He said, you are not going to say anything about this. He says, I will handle it. So, you know, after that, God did something inside of me where I didn't want to go back no more. Something was broken inside of me. I couldn't understand, you know, that they would actually be doing that when I really put my trust in them. But God, you know, you can put your trust in, God say, don't put your trust in man. Because the minute you go to trusting and believing, you know, your belief outside of Jesus ain't going to work. You better make sure that your trust and your foundation is based upon the word of God. I was tied up, bound up, shackled up. You know, the world just had me. After I left the Kingdom Hall, I went to the world. And I'm telling you, after I had left there, I decided, well, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And that's exactly what I did. I started to do whatever I want to do. I was smoking marijuana. I was selling marijuana. I was selling dogs. I was running daycare. I was doing everything that I can do just to get some dollars because that's what was important to me, making some money. I had to have some money because I was going shopping online. I had never went to Walmart in my life. I had never went to the Goodwill. I didn't even know what the Goodwill was. I was busy ordering everything offline for my children and for myself. And the people were saying, is y'all rich? You know, because every time they look around, a truck was coming to bring something. But I'm going to tell you, God got a way to get your attention. I was so high up there until I didn't care if nobody else mattered. I smoked my weed, and I didn't care if nobody else even existed after I smoked it. But one day, you know, I was in the house, and all of a sudden I heard a helicopter. And I was like, sound like a helicopter outside. And as I went and I looked out the window, it was right up over my house. And I could see it said, contact 6, news. And right away, God got my attention, and I said, they is coming to get me. I said, I'm finna go to prison. I did. I was selling marijuana. I had a grow room. I was selling it, smoking it, and doing whatever else I wanted to do with it. And God said, enough is enough. And when I looked out that window, only thing I could read on that helicopter was contact 6. And right away, something say, they coming to get you. And I'm telling you, before I got out the door, I said, Lord Jesus, I said, if you give me one more chance, I said, Lord, just help me, Lord. I said, don't let them take me to prison. I ain't never been to jail a day in my life, Lord. I said, if you get me out of this one, see, you better be careful what you say to God, because he hear you. When you say, Lord, give me another chance and get me out of this one, guess what God going to do? He going to give you another chance. He gave me another chance. Right as I went to running down the stairs, I went to crumble up the marijuana and flush the toilet stool and tie down the grow room and take away everything and dispose of everything. Guess what? The helicopter took off. And when it took off, I said, the devil said, you done tore all your stuff up for nothing. And I thought about it. I said, they wasn't even coming after me. I done tore up all my stuff for nothing. God said, don't forget about the words you spoke to me. And from that day, hallelujah, Jesus, I'm telling you, I ain't never turned back. I never went back to it. I never started back to smoking, drinking, partying, clubbing. I let everything go. And my friend, she was like, I had plenty of friends during that time. See, when you got something going for yourself, you have plenty of friends. Everybody is your friend. They know I had money, so everybody was my friend. I didn't even have to drive a car. They come pick me up. They said, we on our way to get you. But you know what? I decided in my mind, I said, I need to just keep moving forward. So one day I woke up and something was missing inside of me. And I flipped over the phone book. And I couldn't notice no words in the phone book but United Pentecostal Church. And I was like, what is a Pentecostal church? I said, I've never even been to church. I had only been to the Kingdom Hall. And the Lord said, go there. And I went there. And when I went there, immediately I felt something when I walked in the door. I didn't know what it was because I didn't know about the Spirit of God. I was never taught anything about God's Spirit. I was just in a religion where all they do is talk about Jehovah, but nothing happens. Just talk about him. Like some churches you go to, all they do is they just talk about the Bible, but no power. Nothing is happening. You feel dead sitting up in there because you got the power of God and you wondering what in the world is going on up in here. I was up in the church and Lord, I'm telling you, I began to look around at everybody. I said, these people ain't got no earrings. This is what I noticed. I said, all of them wearing long skirts and long sleeves and all their hair long. And I said, ain't nobody got no makeup. I said, what in the world is this? God said, you just keep sitting there. I'm going to show you. I continued to go to the church and continued to go to the church. And one day there was a man came to the church from Chicago, Illinois. And he said, today somebody is going to be saved. And I thought, well, that could be me. I could be saved today. But then the devil said, no, you can't. Because guess what? You still got some marijuana at home. It's up in your drawer. Hid up in there. He said, you're not going to throw it away. You ain't going to be saved today. See, that's what the devil will do to you. The minute God talked to you, the devil going to talk back to you. Now, who is you going to believe? Because I'm telling you, the man said, run for your life. That was the topic of the message. I'll never forget. January 21st, 2007. Run for your life. And I must have jumped up. I knew something was wrong with me because I was from the Kingdom Hall where everybody just sit quiet, don't nobody move, don't nobody say amen, don't nobody say nothing. Everybody just quiet. You can hear a pin drop on the floor. Only somebody you can hear speaking is the speaker. But something lifted me up. And when it lifted me up, I went to running. And I was saying to myself, why am I running? I was running but didn't know why I was running, but I ran right up to the altar. Not even aware of what I was doing. God brought me right in the presence of him. He said, lift your hands. And as I lifted my hands, the devil said, you're not going to be saved today. He said, because remember, you still got stuff going on at home. And right away, the man must have knew that the devil was speaking to me. He said, get your mind focused on Jesus. He said, don't think about nothing else. He said, today is your day and you're going to be saved. And I'm telling you, I must have spoke in a language that I can't even tell you. My son was at the church with me that day. God will give you a witness. My son said, Mama, you sound like an Arab. What was you saying? And I said, I don't know. I said, it's called the Holy Ghost. And he said, Mama, wow. He said, what kind of Holy Ghost is that? I said, I don't know, but it causes you to speak. And I'm going to tell you, ever since that day, January 21st, 2007 was when I got the Holy Ghost, when I was born again. God has totally just transform my life. You know, I said, Lord, sometimes he gets me to a point and I be like, Lord, why me? I never could imagine, you know, but like I said, about a year or something ago, he made me realize that my mama name is Mary and my daddy name is Joseph. And just a year ago, I just realized this, knowing my mom and dad all my life, but just a year ago, he said, your mother is Mary and your father is Joseph. He said, I have kept you for such a time as this. You know, God is good. I want to encourage somebody today, you know, to let go of self. Let yourself go. What? You done did all you can do. Ain't nothing else you can do. If God came and he gave you his spirit and you've been baptized, you is a new creature. Stop listening at the devil. Stop listening to what he got to say. Because like I told my niece, I said, you know the reason why he talking, don't it? Because he going to hell. It was prepared for him. He prepared it his own self. He made that way for him to go there because he didn't want to listen to what God had to say. God is giving somebody another opportunity today. He wants you to have a made up mind. God don't want a lukewarm church. He don't want you to be saying, oh yeah, today, Lord, I live for you. I die for you, Lord. And tomorrow you wake up, you be like, I don't really know if the Lord exists. He won't help me with this problem. I don't know. Maybe it ain't no God. God ain't looking for no wishy-washy people. God has said he's looking for a peculiar people. They different. They different than what the world. If you find yourself doing what the world doing, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. You know, because God, this people that God is looking for is a holy people. Separated and sanctified, washed in the blood, willing and wanting to die for whatever reason. You know, and God got me at that point. I can truly say I love him. I can truly say that I love him more than life itself. And he have never failed me. He have proven over and over and over. I have told you all about the testimonies that God has given me. And he has built my faith to the point now where I asked the devil, I said, what you got next? Because, you know, whatever it is you got for me, I already know that God done already won the battle. The victory has already been won. And it starts in your mind. He come to take your mind. If he can get your mind and get you under control, he got you. But you better make sure that you read the word. Wake up in the morning, read the word. Go to bed at night, read the word. Wake up in the morning praying. Go to bed at night praying. Pray all day. Everything you do, pray. I don't care if it's right or wrong, pray. Tell Jesus, thank you, Lord, for whatever situation, whatever hill, whatever valley, whatever it is, Lord, I want to give you thanks today. And when you do that, you will be the one, the victory. I want to ask a question today. This is a serious question. Are you willing to die to yourself so that you may live forever or are you willing to keep living the way that you want and die forever? It ain't but two choices. You know, there is no in between. You know, either you live for God and you do what God wants you to do, or you live for the devil. And he said that if you have not my spirit, then you don't belong to me. If it's somebody here today, you know, that don't have the spirit of God, but you want the spirit of God, but you've been listening at the devil because he's been telling you, you know, you can't have the spirit of God because you do this and you do that and you do this and you do that. But I'm here to tell you today that he is a liar. You can have the spirit of God today. It's a choice. It's a gift that God give. He's not trying to give you a gift and then take it back. He ain't not an Indian giver. I ain't going to give you this gift now. I'm going to take it right back from you. No. God says he wants to give you the gift of eternal life. He wants you to be saved. He came for that purpose. Are you willing to die to what you want so that you can have eternal life? Or are you willing to just ignore this message because Jesus is coming? He's coming. Oh, I'm here to tell you today, he is coming. He's coming quick. And the Bible said we should be ever praying. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come. Because when you look at the world today, you better understand that there's a war going on. You better decide today where you're going to have your last home. Will it be in heaven or will it be in hell? It's your prerogative.